If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to The Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
So glad you can join us for the pod. Welcome in. We've got a guest today that... I'm always good to have Bill DeLuigi with us. It's been a couple of years, and you're doing exciting stuff. Bill, welcome to the show in the dining room.
Dave, good to see you, man. Yeah, I think it's probably been, it might have been 4 years.
Has it been that long?
Wow. 2018, I think I put out my first record, yeah.
Wow. We started this in 2021, so you must have been one of the first guests.
Okay, wasn't as far back as I thought.
Yeah, that's that far back. But good to have you back.
Yeah.
And you've got new music coming out. You're staff writer with Lucky Sky Music. I knew it wasn't right as I was saying it. Lucky Sky Music, our good friend Kirstie Manna and Bill Warner over there, who both been on the show. And we're going to talk about that and about your music and all the cool things you get going on. But I wanted to first, maybe you can help me congratulate our friend Chantel Ogden, who has also been on this show. Amazing woman.
Yes. She's got her own movie going. She's producing a movie and filming it and got a bunch of our songs in it. It's got Dave in it. I'm actually the sound man in one of the scenes.
That's right. You're running the sound. Writer's round.
Cool, yeah, she's worked hard and it's coming to fruition.
She really has. She calls me out of the blue one day and I thought it was just time to get back on the podcast and I want to have her back. But she goes, you know, I've been this sync agent for all these years and she gets songs in movies and films. You've been movies
absolutely.
And film music, you know, and that's an avenue we can talk about. She said, but I decided, heck, I can do this. I can write a film. And that's what she did. And now she's producing it. And they're shooting here last week and this week here in Music City. And it's called Music City Mistletoe. And what a trip. I mean, you know, I've got to hand it to her. She's making a dream come true.
Absolutely. I mean, it takes a lot of more than a village to make a movie, as we saw the other day when we were in those scenes.
Wow. I had no clue, Bill.
Me either.
No clue. We get into a world of call sheets and DOODs. I'm like, what's that? OTS. All the abbreviations and stuff. And the crews, all these guys. I mean, there's the cam crew, lighting crew, this crew, that crew, hair and makeup. I mean, they're all like one well-oiled machine. It all comes together somehow. And you're like, but they know what they're doing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, Chantel, congratulations. Bill, let's talk about you a little bit. Let me just to refresh folks' memory, Bill Stafford, Lucky Sky Music. He's had cuts by Bonnie Tyler. Oh, my God. Richie McDonald from Lone Star. Johnny Lee. Rockers Blessed Union of Souls. Love those guys.
Yeah.
Had connections in Cincinnati when I was
there. Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, I got to jam with the drummer, and I'm trying to remember his name.
I just know Elliot, the leader. We write the songs together. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in this church band, and we were just jamming one day. And this guy comes up, he goes, man, I love what you guys are doing on the worship team. I just love to play with you sometime. We're like, okay. You're in.
That's
fun.
Cool, man.
Best drummer I've ever seen. Anyway, and you've got, you were Junior Award nominated in 2017 for Record of the Year. That's Canada's Grammy Award. That's
right.
Pretty cool.
We were on a Juno Award nominated record with a guy named Aaron. I can't think of Aaron's last name right now.
Aaron. One of those one name acts. That's all he needs. And then you won a Dove Award, huh? No, it was the Canadian Dove Award.
Actually, it's what they call, it's the Canadian Dove Award.
And,
same thing, Gospel Music Association, GMA in Canada.
Yeah.
And actually, you may know Judy Pastor, a local.
Judy!
She was on on a song with me and her and a guy named Sean, and he was a guitar player guy.
Yeah. Mm, that's awesome. We were just with her Sean Friday Spicer. Night at the Cindy Alter Show, and I think you've written with Cindy as well.
Yes, we've written a couple together.
Yeah.
Cindy's great.
Yeah, she's amazing. And what a rock star. She's been on the show a few times, too, from South Africa and her big band, Clout. And she always does that song. Substitute was a big hit.
Oh, yeah.
14 million records or something. But
wow.
That's cool. So you write with so many people. Bill, man, that's awesome. It's like everybody wants to write with Bill DiLuigi. And every round that I go to, I hear, there's one I wrote with Bill DiLuigi. Seems like everybody I talk to on this podcast, they go, this is a song I wrote with Bill. So many times we've talked about you on this show behind your back in front of your face. And you don't even know.
I can imagine. I mean, I know they're all out there. Sometimes my iTunes come on and a song comes on and plays and I'm like, hey, that's not bad. Oh, that was I on that? Yeah. Hey, that's even better. Hope somebody recorded that one.
Write so many songs you can't keep track of them all. Are you the kind that counts how many songs you write a year?
No. I don't. I'm going to guess. I do list them all, but
I list them all.
I'm going to say, let me see, 20, 200, like a minimum of 250. Yeah.
250. That's crazy.
Easy. Easy.
So you're like a 2-3 day appointment a day writer?
Kind of. Yeah. Some days there's more depending if somebody's somebody's cutting a record or something needs to be done or there's a pitch for sync, you know?
Yeah. But you got to get on it right away sometimes.
Yeah. 25 songs a month. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Incredible. Do you ever feel like, do you ever get creatively drained?
I don't really get drained, but I do kind of wish sometimes that it was just, one song every 3 days or something. So I could really take the time to go, okay. Because sometimes you go back and you look at it and you go, well, we could have done that better,
Yeah.
But sometimes it's so rush that it's like, they're going to cut next week or cut, it's like,
yeah.
I wish I had that time.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah, me too. Sometimes you just got to get it done.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Other times, you're onto something special and you know it.
Yep.
And maybe take a little bit more time. And the rewrite process, I mean, even today, there's a song I just recently cut. And while I was waiting around to shoot my next scene in that film, I had an idea of how to make that song better. But it's already recorded.
Yeah, I know it.
Do you let it pass or do you,
It happens.
Yeah. Sometimes you run around and you come up with a line or even, in bed at night and you go, that's going to make that song better. And sometimes I'll throw it out in a writer's round just to see if it works. You ever do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sometimes it makes it better. And then sometimes I'm just making things worse. And I go, what was there was right to begin with.
Right.
Sometimes
you can overthink, can't you?
There's two hats. There's two, I look at my brain as like two ways. There's the creative writer.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the publisher writer, which is like, well, you don't do this in publishing. You don't do this in a song. You put this there. But, my creative brain is learning to outrule the editor now and go, but it just feels like it should be that. Maybe it does break a rule. Maybe it's not textbook.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you're of the mind that you're going to write a great song no matter what.
I'm trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. And that is, you're right. You're right in them. It could go either way. Do I want to, do you write for hit radio or do you write something that you can really be proud of? Or is there a happy medium in between?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come nobody ever asked for a happy large? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. The pitch sheets are always up tempo hits. Okay.
Yeah.
We're looking for up-tempo hits.
That narrows it down.
Yeah, that really narrows it down. You go to a writing session. Well, guys, today I think we ought to write an up-tempo hit. What you got? Well, you do have new music out there, and this is special for you, isn't it?
Yeah, this is great. I'm really excited. It's the first record I've put out since 2018, I think.
Wow, has it been that 2019.
Long? 2019.
Where you been? You've just been too busy.
I've been writing just for everybody else but me, pretty much, you know.
So you're time to write for you.
took some time. And well, actually, you know, I'm always writing for me, but I just put the songs aside.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, this group of songs, which I was, the ones I was really liking mostly, this record actually, half was co-written and half was written by myself. Wonderful. But I put some songs aside, and then all of a sudden, I went, it's about time to do it again. And I found these songs, and I realized they all had a common thread.
Yeah.
They were all imaginary people and places, you know.
Mm. So what are you going to call the EP?
So the record's called The Mermaid.
Mermaid.
And Other Reimaginary Friends.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
How many tracks did you do?
There's 10 tracks.
10 tracks. Yeah. Full album. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Now, you got one out there streaming right now called Ponies.
Ponies, yeah.
Tell us about that one.
Maybe so, Ponies. Wrote it with an old friend named Mike Ward, who was here for many years. Great writer. Taught me a lot about pictures and writing and stuff like that.
And I think that's one of your strengths. You really, we talked about last time you were here, you're a song painter. You really can paint the picture with your lyrics. And
that's what I try to get there. Try to take you there, you know, the best I can. And then the challenge is you're taking them somewhere a lot of times you've never been, but you see it in your head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
John Prine used to talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mike was a great writer, and Mike's out in Montana now, and he sent me this poem, kind of a lyric about ponies, and we just bounced it back and forth. Like, I heard the music immediately, and I took the story where I thought it wanted to go, and it's called Ponies.
Great. Well, let's hear it. Can you play it for us?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Live around the dining room table, Bill DeLuigi.
What do you do when the ponies run back to the wall in the burning sun? Dust on your boots, rust on your gun. What do you do when the ponies run? What do you do with all the hours way out of range from a cell phone tower where the silence blooms like a cactus flower? What do you do with all the hours? My Adelita's sweetest drops of desert rain. I run to meet her, but the can walls call back her name. What do you do for the hungry mouths? You head north when it all goes south, carrying the devil's packages out. That's what she did for the hungry mouths. Sweetest drops of desert rain. I run to meet her, but the canyon walls call back her name. Frost on the sun, knowing the end has just begun. What do you do when the ponies run? Knowing the end has just begun. What do you do when the ponies run? Ponies run.
Bill DeLuigi, cool song, man.
There you have it.
Very cool. What does it mean to you? Tell us that whole concept.
What does it mean to you, Dave? That's what I'm more interested in.
Things go south, you're going to go north. I love that line. I really do.
I'm just interested in what people take away from the song. It's not a typical Nashville song. It's about a feeling, and it's I know what I had in my mind.
Yeah? I'm interested to know what that is.
Well, I can tell you. I watch a lot of TV shows, like, you know, about the Sicarios and the drug runners and all those.
I haven't
things.
Seen the episode on my list. Mm-hmm. There's a two now, part two even. Yeah.
Well, there's always a lot of those shows, and and I guess not so interested in the glamour of it, or the, well, it's not really glamorous, it's really evil, but I'm more interested in the people that get caught up in it. And it's kind of a story about a guy and a girl, and they're down somewhere below the border, and her way, she's a pony, she's a runner, she takes the drugs and runs them into the U.S. And or wherever they are, it doesn't have to be U.S.
But see, I missed that completely.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
What do you do when the ponies run, you know? So you get caught up, and why do they do it? Well, she had to feed her family. I'm not justifying it, but just saying, you know, people get caught up, and it's like, what do you do for the hungry mouth? You head north when it all goes south, carrying the devil's packages out.
Now I get it.
So you kind of get
it. Isn't that something?
There's something, you know, there's a price to be paid for everything you do, and the people that get caught up in it. But it's more of a mood. It's about somebody missing somebody.
Yeah.
The drug issue is just a side issue, you know.
Gonna be a part two to that?
I don't know. Could be.
I think you need a sequel, man.
Could be.
I want to get under the hood a little bit and talk about the melodies. A really cool and different melody. You're in D. You drop
I'm
D.
I'm in drop D. Yeah.
You're in drop D.
Yes, sir.
So the bottom string is tuned to a D.
Yep.
Interesting chord progressions. I love how you saved the six minor to. It was just a passing note in the bridge.
Yeah.
And then you threw, there's a little different chord, kind of a money chord in there.
It's a five minor.
Five minor.
At the top of the chorus.
Top of the chorus.
Yeah, so five minor is always a flavor, you know. I love the flavor of five minor.
Can you demonstrate that
so
real
quick?
So
it's like, it goes, coming from the one chord.
It's a D.
End of the verse, and then it goes. My Adelina's sweet is dropped. So it's five minor, 4-1.
About that.
It's kind of a Western vibe.
It is a Western vibe.
You know?
Yeah. Gives it that Western feeling.
Yeah.
Is that, now when you said that started with a poem that he wrote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a trick there too. I mean, you working from a lyric, did it sing that melody to you? Or tell us about that process, setting a poem to a melody. And did you hear it as you're reading it? Or
yeah, I pretty much, I mean, Mike's a great writer. And when we used to write together in person, he was good at melody and all that stuff too. Uh-huh. So he writes in the perfect pentameter. Yeah. So it's easy to put the music. I just saw the lines and I thought, what do you do when the ponies run? I mean, it just has a certain rhythm to it. What do you do when the ponies... I heard it almost immediately.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
That's fantastic. I'm just making a note here.
Yeah.
Five minor. Folks, explore the five minor.
Five minor is a really cool chord.
It really is a cool chord. Caught me by surprise. And our friend Steve Dean calls that the money chord, right?
There you go. Yeah. Steve's a good friend. We write a lot of songs together.
I know you write along with him. Yeah. He's a really good guy. He's been on the podcast before, and I've learned so much vicariously through him from other people, you know, that have written with him.
What a stories he has.
Yes, yeah. He does.
The golden age of Nashville.
Oh, yeah. He was there. Big hits. Yeah. And I love what he's doing for vets right now. He's writing those songs with veterans.
We just got back from with Steve over the weekend. We were writing with vets in Huntsville.
That's fantastic. Yep. Yeah. Didn't you tell me before the Duggar brothers have been on this show,
write
a lot with you, and didn't they have some success with a was that one of those veteran-written songs?
No, it wasn't, but they wrote it with a veteran, but it wasn't in a program like Freedom Sings or anything. But yes, they wrote a song with a veteran and another writer called True Colors.
That's wonderful.
And it went to number one on iTunes in the whole country last week.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations, guys. Those are great guys.
Good dudes.
Some days we'll get them back on. I want to talk about Tori Martin, too, a little bit.
Yeah.
Tori Martin, one of the label mates there at Lucky Sky. You write with her a lot, and I know Kirsty and Bill, I just adore her. She's been on this show, too. And she's got a brand new song out there that you co-wrote with her, right? And you write with her a lot, right?
Most of the songs that she's had on radio, at least in the last couple of years of all, been co-writes with me and Tori and Kirsty. And this one is Tori and I and Kirsty and Bill, her producer, Bill Warner.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Abilene. And it has just went crazy. In about 10 weeks, it's number 6 on the Texas chart.
That's great.
And the video came out last week. And the video...
You got to see the video.
...is amazing. I've had a lot of songs done on video, but nothing like this.
This blew you away, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She really killed it.
She really did. Wonderful girl. We'll have to get her back on, too. I was so, you know, it's so funny. I was really interested to hear and maybe see video from your rock band days.
Oh, yeah.
In Philadelphia. You were with Sierra's Mantra.
That's right.
And I found a video.
Oh, yeah.
And I was watching it this morning, and I saw long hair Bill.
Had the hair.
Had the hair, brother.
Marshall half stack and everything. Yes, you did.
Playing that electric guitar. That must have been a trip. You guys had a blast, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We gave it a good run, you know. We almost got a record deal. We had to cut some tracks in New York and toured around, and it didn't work out in the end, but we made some pretty cool music.
Yeah, the experience, that rock star experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then came to Nashville, and the rest is history.
The rest is history, as they say.
What brought you to Nashville from Philly?
So it was a long story. Long story short, that band broke up. And
bands do that.
Bands break up.
And usually right after you get the photos taken.
Yeah, get the merch and then you're going to break up.
Yeah.
So if you don't want, you want to get out of a band, just get the pictures taken.
That's it.
You know? But that broke up and I was in Pennsylvania and I didn't know what to do. I mean, I thought I had a God-given talent because I had written songs since I was like 10.
Really?
And I thought, what am I supposed to do? So I just became a worship leader for a while. I just hung out in church for a while. And then after about 2 years, like every place I went, somebody was going to Nashville.
Yeah.
And I had entered a song. And I was in the rock world. But I had written some rootsy stuff. And I had written this song about a coal mining. There was a rescue of some coal miners up in Pennsylvania. It was kind of a bluegrass thing.
Yeah.
And Naris had a thing called Pitchathon. And it placed in the top 10. So I was like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I can write other types of music. Went to the event. And, of course, what did I see there? Just all these people from Nashville, from ASCAP. And so I started the journey to Nashville. I met a guy named Jim Femino, who was one of my mentors.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
And he said, you know, your stuff's pretty good. He lived in Pennsylvania.
Hit writer. Had some hits. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just got started loving you, James Otto. He said, man, your stuff's pretty good. You could probably do it. So he started setting me up some appointments.
Cool.
I'd come every 3 months for a couple years. And then I was like, well, it's pretty hard to ignore. God must be pointing me to Nashville. So here I go. And the rest is, as they say.
I love how you did it, though. You didn't just pack up right away and go.
You
kept shooting in and writing, getting invited back and, you know, getting the feel for it before you finally moved. How long did you do that?
I did it for 2 years.
2 years.
Jim said go every 3 months.
Every three months.
I said, okay.
Yeah. And I know folks should do that, you know, and I think it's just a real wise way to go. First of all, I think if you get all starry-eyed, you're going to come to Nashville.
Yeah.
And make it overnight. There's something to be said. We say all the time it's a 10-year town. No, sometimes it's longer.
Yeah, it can be.
There are so many 10-year and 20-year overnight successes, right, Bill?
Oh, man. So. I wasn't that tight, so I was like, I need to have a little plan together. And if you can do that, like just jump off the thing when you're 25 or 20 or a little more bulletproof and you can go, I'll sleep in my car, I'll do whatever. But me, I sort of set it all up so I could, you know, I had like a day job in place. I ended up buying a house that I could, you know, rent out the rooms. It would pay my mortgage. So I knew I could get out of the day job and start doing it.
And are you out of that day job now?
Oh, many, many years many now. Years thank now. God.
Good for you. That's awesome. What did you do?
So I worked at a trucking company in the office
Up
here in Nashville, moving company.
That's cool.
And it paid the bills. Wrote every available minute, Saturdays, Sundays, evenings.
I know. There's a guy I've been on the podcast quite recently who's a teacher. And so he'll teach till, you know, 3 p.m. Then he writes till 8 o'clock every night.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the schedule. Hey, how bad do you want it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you really love it? Do you really have a passion for it? Yeah. Very cool. Well, let's talk a little bit more about this new record you're putting out. And I want to hear some of the new songs. We're going to take a break, though. And when we come back, we'll get into this new record, okay?
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
With Bill DiLuigi today. And while I'm thinking about it, folks, there is a, if you have Spotify, there is a playlist that we put out. It's streaming right now, but whenever we do a new episode, I always add a few songs from the most recent guest. And it's just simply, if you go to Songwriter Connection, the songs is the playlist. and you can check it out. Thank you for joining us. If you're listening on YouTube, please click the subscribe and like button because that helps immensely, even though we're not a video podcast. But we do appreciate you wherever you're listening to it. And it is streaming everywhere. And just keep in mind, every Wednesday, a brand new episode. Bill DeLuigi's got new music out.
Yes, sir.
He's about to release a new album, and we're excited about it. And I'd love to hear another song, the story behind it.
It's funny you were talking about the rock and roll, finding my old rock and roll band pictures, and this is kind of like what this song is about. About anybody that's ever sang to a hairbrush or had a garage band. And this one's going to come out later in the year with a guy named Elliot Sloan, who was the founder and lead singer for Blessed Union of Souls.
Wonderful.
Who had a bunch of big hits like I Believe and She Likes Me For Me. They were a 90s Y2K band, you know.
Oh, yeah, they were awesome.
Mm-hmm. We've written a lot of stuff together, film and television over the years, and they've released a few. So this is called Refugees of Rock and Roll.
It's one of my favorite Bill DeLuigi songs.
Jammed in the basement with our Fender basement amps. Crammed in a corner, you could smell the carpet was damp. A long-haired misfit band of blue jeans soul. The hometown refugees of rock and roll. We did it for peace and love and to change the world. We did it cause we couldn't make the team to get the girls. We did it cause the volume was the only thing we could control. The joyful noise of the refugees of rock and roll. And we play all day and all night long. It was all one long song.
Oh, yeah.
Last night I took a walk by the bandstand out in the park. It all came back like a long summer kiss in the dark. For a minute I let that memory swallow me whole. Another shipwrecked refugee of rock and roll. We'd play all day and all night long. It was all like one long song. We'd play all day and all night long. It was alright even when we got it wrong. And we'd play all day and all night long.
I can't wait to hear the produced version of that. You put some heavy guitars in that.
Oh, yeah. We had some great players on there. And I think Justin Ostrander played some heavy-duty guitar riffs. Wow. And Elliot's going to take a verse, and I'll take a verse.
And that's going to be on this new record.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea when we'll hear this?
This one should come out in May sometime.
In May?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So that's the next single? One.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's gonna do well for you, I think.
Yeah.
It's a great song. And, you know, I think about, you know, we always talk about the tools of the trade and get under the hood a little bit. And I think one of the coolest things about songs, I love great first lines. And the first line of that song is just killer. It's brilliant. Jamming in the basement with a Fender basement amp. Oh, my God. Where did that come from?
It's truth.
Yeah. That's just what it was.
That's what we did. You know?
It just wrote itself, huh?
Yeah. Just had to put what was already there. Just tell you what's already there.
Little autobiographical, that song?
Absolutely. I think anybody, you know, we spent so much time in the basement or maybe in, you know, some people's town, it would be the garage.
Driving our parents and our neighbors crazy.
Any place where the, you know, they couldn't hear us.
But they did because you kept turning that amp on, right? Absolutely.
Count on it. Count on it.
Yeah. When you were growing up, was your parents musical? Did they?
My dad played clarinet, but he didn't in high school, he said, but he never followed through. But my mom was a music major, so she had a piano all the time in the house. So she would play on the piano, and she played Jim Croce songs and show tunes and classical.
Croce to show tunes. That's great. So did you learn to play the piano? Did she pick?
Just a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah, not very good.
Yeah. But it's cool. I always like to ask about beginnings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it started for you at a young age?
Right? Started. Yeah, it probably was. I got the bug at a young age, and my parents, my grandpa took me to a yard sale, and they had it was a guitar hanging there, and it was a plastic string guitar, like an M&E toy guitar, almost like a toy.
Yeah.
And it was 50 cents, and he said, I'll buy it for you. He's like, if you take lessons on that plastic guitar for a year, I'll buy you a wooden guitar.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. So I did. And I took lessons, and eventually he bought me a wooden guitar and acoustic. That? Yeah.
That must have been a special moment and a special guitar.
Framus was the brand. Framus. I don't know if you ever heard of those.
I never did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a crazy question. You got it to this day? Is it that
similar? No. Who knows where it went?
It's in your head.
Yeah.
Some memories.
I probably traded it for the next best guitar, you know, at some point.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Sadly.
I remember my first really good guitar. It was an Ovation in the mid-70s.
Oh, yeah.
It was Ovations with a big plastic back, and they always cracked down the middle. But at the time, man, rock star.
Yeah. I don't know what they were made out of. Were they made out of, like, Bakelite or something?
I'm not sure what it was, but it was a fun guitar. Just kept cracking down the middle. And I know they still make guitars today, and they're very affordable, but it was hard to get used to that big belly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Mine was the deep dish run, of course. So it was hard to play it out. But so that's cool. So you got to Nashville. You start writing with bigger and better writers. Do you remember the first success you had as a writer?
Well, let's see. The interesting thing is, I guess it depends on what you think success is, but...
Well, I think we've always talked about how you define your own success.
So I think what was really successful to me was the first time I came to Nashville, mm-hmm. and I guess I was looking for confirmation, you know, from God, like, is this the place I'm supposed to be? Am I doing what I'm doing?
Yeah.
And I went to a writing workshop at NSAI, and this artist was there. This was the first trip, I think. Mm-hmm. First or second.
And again, if you're not familiar with NSA, at Nashville Songwriters Association International, we've talked about it a lot. Look it up. Join it if you've got a chapter a year. Go ahead, Bill.
And this artist, who was a really great singer, heard one of my songs. She goes, can I record that song? So it was a song I had written by myself, and I thought, that's cool. Like, I came the first time, and somebody's going to record one of my songs. This is easy. I'm moving in tomorrow.
What's so hard about songwriting?
Yeah. I'd only known.
Yeah, I've only known. But, so that was the first success.
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of the song?
The song's called In My Father's House.
In My Father's House. Kind of a spiritual song?
It's a gospel song. Kind of a blues gospel song. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Is there an artist out there today that you would just, if you could choose an artist that would cut one of your songs, who would it be?
I mean, I would love, there's a song on here called Mermaid. Would love, that's the title track to this record. Would love Kenny Chesney to record that. I don't know. I just do write some songs that seem to be good for him. And I've had some holds with him, but I've never gotten a cut yet.
So. Well, here's to one of those cuts. Maybe this one. Would you feel like playing that one today?
I may need a... Did you give me a capo? I may need one.
I can slide one over here.
Thank you, sir.
There you go.
A lot of songs on this record are in drop D, as you can tell.
You know, I know folks that just drop it all the time. Everything they write is drop D, you know. And we've talked about alternate tunings and things like that. Sometimes it helps you, if you're in a little bit of a slump, try a little alternate, drop that D, see what you can come up with.
It's just a vibe, you know.
It is a vibe. It's all about the vibe.
Tuning. Wrote this song on a visit to Idaho. pretty far away from the ocean.
I was going to say, are there mermaids in Idaho?
There was.
There was.
In this old shallow world, she's a pearl of a girl. Not your everyday fine. Works on a pier serving burgers and beer and shooting down pickup lines. Cause she thinks she found her a good one. They went out for dinner and drinks. She's seen them come and she's seen them go. So she's hoping the ship don't sink. She's a mermaid. Always trying to find her song. All her friends say she'll be okay. Just been on the rocks too long. Half of her wants to hug the shore. Cause there's danger in the deep end. She's a mermaid learning to swim again. They went to a movie the following Tuesday. Wednesday they walked in the sand. When they dipped her toes in down by the ocean, she almost reached for his hand. Cause she thinks she found her a good one. She's trying to go with the flow. But it's a delicate dance and there's always a chance you get fooled. By the undertow, she's a mermaid, always trying to find her song. All her friends say she'll be okay, just been on the rocks too long. Half of her wants to hug the shore, cause there's danger in the deep end. She's a mermaid, learning to swim. If there's anything the salt in her tears has taught her, it's take your time and test the waters. Half of her wants to hug the shore, cause there's danger in the deep end. She's a mermaid learning to swim again. In this old shallow world, she's a pearl of a girl, not your everyday fine.
Oh, I love it. What a great song. And again, you talk about that first powerful line in a song. This was so good, you tagged it onto the end, which I love it. I love when you do that. Hey, we got a strong line, you might as well do that, right?
If it worked once, let's try it again.
But no, it just comes right around to the start, and it just like it starts all over again.
Yeah.
Pearl of a Girl.
Yeah.
I love it. Mermaid. Title cut of the new...
Title cut of the new record.
Now, you've got a little strategy involved, and everybody's got a different one, it seems, today. So what you're going to do is release tracks, 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 and then the whole album.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Now, in doing that, would you have a CD release party before when there's all ready, or wait till
that's
the end?
Good question.
Well, you know, what do you do?
Maybe I'll do it in the fall, you know?
Maybe you do it, what, twice?
Yeah. Hey, reunion tours, it works.
Yeah, there we go.
You know?
Beautiful. Love it. And I'm glad you're making new music. Did you have a co-writer on that one?
No, I wrote that by myself.
All by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. And every now and then you got to do that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the... You said about half this album is solo rights.
That and Refugees I wrote by myself. And then Mike Ward is on Ponies. Yeah.
On Ponies.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Can't wait to hear more. I really can't. I believe I first heard that in a writer's round at, I want to say, Commodore Grill. And it might have been...
Probably.
The 1 million stream show. And I want to thank you for playing that.
Oh, yeah. It probably was.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Dave? We are getting ready to hit 2 million. I don't know if we'll do that again.
Wow.
But,
great for you.
Yeah. So... And that's all thanks to you listening and spreading the word. But fantastic, Bill. Really good. I really love that song.
Thank you, man.
It says a lot. It really does. So how about another?
Let's see.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Let's see what else is on this record.
Yeah.
Let me tune this bad boy up. So this is one.
They're fairly new. two strings, so they're probably not stretched.
Oh, this is actually in drop D too.
No, is it really? Okay. Just drop that bottom string from an E to a D, folks. If you've never experimented with it, there's so many cool places you could go in that tuning.
Half the record is in. One is in D flat.
D flat, huh?
D flat open tuning. Dad?
Yeah, you know, last time we talked, you were talking about dad. I heard dad gad a lot, but it's D-A-D-D.
D-A-D-D-A-D.
I'll have to experiment with that.
I drop it a half step down from that. There's a song called Scott the Astronaut, which is kind of like a U2 thing.
All right.
So my friend Angus Gill, you may have had Angus on the show, I'm not sure.
I haven't.
He's a producer-writer from Australia who moved there this year. A
name like Angus, I would have guessed.
and he came to me and Kirsty Manor one day and said, hey, I want to write a song called Samson. I'm like, cool, what's the idea? He's like, I don't know. So we kicked this idea around. Angus took this song. It became a hit in Australia.
All right.
My version's a little different. It's called Samson.
Samson.
There's a need to code a paint house at the end of my street. Thought there had to be a dad to call it a family. The mom's a little weird, but nice as far as I can see. I gave half my lunch to her boy Sam once. He goes to school with me. Yeah, he goes to school with me. We can't act like friends standing at the bus stop, but when it's him and me and no one else, it's okay, we can talk. He's the last one picked the games after the new kid on the block. Never seen him cry, but it's gotta hurt a lot. But when they say Samson, why's your hair so long? Where'd you get that stupid name, Samson? Skinny legs and toothpick arms. No, you don't look so strong, you ain't no Samson. We read some book in Sunday school called Judges Number 4. Gave the kids a big idea to start a little war. Lila snuck some scissors from her mother's dresser drawer, and in the cleaning closet behind the gym, as his curls hit the floor, they all said, Samson, why's your hair so long? Where'd you get that stupid name, Samson? Skinny legs and toothpick arms. Nah, you don't look so strong, you ain't no Samson. Hey, you ain't no Samson. You ain't no Samson. Finally hit me one day sitting in study hall. Miss Morgan wore a necklace with a shiny silver cross. Made me think about the day old Samson proved us wrong. You don't have to fight it all, it's love that makes you strong. It's love that makes you strong. Hey Samson, how'd you get so brave? Wish I could do the same, Samson. Skinny legs and toothpick arms.
Oh, but I know who you are. You're Samson. Hey, Samson. Today Sam came to play for the first time at my house. Afterwards, I asked my dad, could I grow my hair out like Samson?
Wow. Song painter, storyteller, songwriter, Bill DiLuigi. One of my favorites here in town.
Thank you, Dave.
Great song, man. I mean, you really...
Thank you.
You really... Where does it all come from? Mm. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself?
Well, God, obviously, because I run out of ideas.
The skies just open up.
But I think part of it is a songwriter's job is to, you know, partner with God and go keep your ears open 24/7.
Observer of life.
And everything will be in there, and you just have to figure out how to get it from in there to out there.
There's the trick, right?
You know, yeah. And that's the crafting part of it. But the heart of the songwriter is always... wide open.
Wide open.
Yeah.
Are you the kind that has to keep the hook book when these ideas come in?
You know, when they come, I just put them in my phone. Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sit down, start going through them. Yeah. You know, take us into a song. Take us into one of my favorite scenes in this movie that we were talking about, Music City Mistletoe. The lead actress, and I was the old, imagine me playing an old songwriter, right? It was a stretch. The writer named Tom Martin, and the difference between Tom and I is this, he had a lot more hits than me, and he had a Grammy. I never won a Grammy, but if I did, it'd be sitting on that table right there. I'd be taking that along. See my Grammys? Anyway, I sit down with the lead actress, and she is amazing. Sarah Priebus is her name, and she plays Chloe, and she's an upcoming songwriter, and we're writing a song together, and Chantel wrote this wonderful scene. It really made me feel that we were writing a song. It was a song that Chantel had written.
Right.
But it kind of gave you the idea of what it's like to sit in the room and actually put you in a songwriter's shoes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you had a story about how that works, and I would love to hear it.
Well, it's just, you know, it's a mystical thing. It's just that everybody does it differently, and it happens differently every time. Uh-huh. I think if I'm co-writing with someone who's an artist or just another writer, or there's a couple people in the room, uh-huh, that we try. Of course, I always keep ideas in my phone if it's going to be a commercial idea. Mm-hmm. If it's an artist I don't know, I just try to find out where they're at in their life.
Like, yeah.
What really rings true to you today? Did you just have a breakup? Did you just find somebody new? Did you lose somebody that was close to you? Are you super happy because you're... You know, try to dial in, because, I mean, all songs need to make us feel something, whether it's to laugh or to cry or to rock out or have fun, you know. So I want to tap into something that's real when possible. You
so
know?
You're really the kind that is going to pull it out of that co-writer.
Too. Try to, yeah. Try get them to. Talking a little bit.
Sometimes when you talk, ideas come.
Absolutely.
They say a magic phrase or something. Oh, what'd you just say?
Exactly. It falls back out, and there you go.
It
you
does.
Know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I could see that happening. I've been in writers' rooms where that has happened. We were talking, and it just fell out.
Absolutely.
Then the next step, I would imagine, and tell me, you know, and I guess it's like it's different with everybody, but you start to look at the different angles, right? How can we approach this?
Right.
What are ways we can bring that theme out, what we're trying to say, correct?
We're always writing the same 12 ideas a different way every day, basically. Yeah. You know, there's probably more than 12 kinds of songs, but you know, right. It's I love right. you, I don't love you anymore, you don't love me, it was great loving you, I can't wait to love you, you know, you got a God song, you got a beer song, you got a, you know, you got a hometown song, and you got a,
yeah,
you know, there's,
yeah, dad, mom song.
Yeah, dad yeah. and mom song, yeah, family. Yeah. There's a handful yeah. of ideas, but you have to write them different every day, and that's the challenge.
Yeah, it is the challenge, and you go into a writer's room, and everything has been written, seems.
Yeah.
Not in that particular way. So how's a different way? Where can we put that camera to make it different?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that's the beauty part of it.
Yeah.
I think that's the challenge.
That's what keeps it fresh. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Keeps you striving to do that.
Well, the new record is called again.
It's called The Mermaid and Other Reimaginary Friends.
We've got a new song coming out that we heard here on the podcast here in May. And then, but every couple months, you're going to put out a new one?
Yeah, that's a game plan then.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. And I'm excited for it. Maybe you can take us out with another one, a special one from this new record.
Sure.
Bill DiLuigi here on the Songwriter Connection podcast. I tell you, on that guitar, the B string is a liar. It tells you to tune.
So this is a song I wrote with you probably know Andy Renfrey and
yeah, love
Les Bow.
They produced my last record. Andy and
great people. You miss them there. Andy's
I do too.
Ren. Out west somewhere now.
Yeah, I want to say New Mexico. Maybe it's wrong. I think it's New Mexico. Great people. Great writers. Andy wrote Buffalo Grass for...
Ledoux, right?
Ledoux, one of my favorite Ledoux songs.
So this song, you've probably seen these on the internet, and we imagine what it would be like. And it's called Jesus in Our Church.
Mm.
Choir swayed to Rock of Ages. Congregation thumbed through their Bible pages. Said everyone's welcome on the welcome sign out front. Maybe everyone except for one. Long haired and dirty, like he didn't have a home. Nobody knew his name. He came and left alone. It says, for the least of these, do unto them as you would to me. Must have missed the chapter with that verse. Could it be that could have been Jesus at our church? The way folks looked at him, you'd think he was the devil. But a kid like me saw him from a different level. He had a sunbeam halo round his head like in that stained glass. I looked up at him and love smiled back. All long-haired and dirty, like he didn't have a home. Nobody knew his name. He came and left alone. It says, for the least of these, do unto them as you would to me. Must have missed the chapter with that verse. Could it be that could have been Jesus in our church? Never called him after service to tell him that I care. But in the years from there to here, I've seen him here and there. Begging for change on a corner and at a bus stop in St. Clair. All long-haired and dirty. It says, for the least of these, do unto them as you would to me. Must have missed the chapter with that verse. Could it be that could have been Jesus? I believe that could have been Jesus at our church.
awesome. Bill DeLuigi on the Songwriter Connection.
Thank you, Dave.
I remember a song I was listening to this morning. I was just streaming all the Billy D songs. And you remember, and I know you remember this, What Would Jesus Drive?
Oh, yeah, it's a classic.
God, I got a kick out of that one, man. What would he drive? Bill, thanks for joining us. All the best with this new record.
Thank you, Dave.
We're excited for this new song coming out in May. And I appreciate you being with us. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome. Well,
thank you kindly.
Next week on our show, we've got a lady who has been on American Idol twice, young lady. It was America's Got Talent twice. American Idol. And then some new show. I can see your voice. Anyway, she's young. She's beautiful. She's got some great songs. And we're going to talk with Macy Mack next week. Don't miss it. And thanks for joining us this week on the Songwriter Connection. As I like to say, hey, right on. W-R-I-T-E.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.